Blog Talk Radio.
Boy Ghani, Francis Kumba.
And very shortly, we'll be able to say Imani. But for now, we're saying Kaumba. Creativity. Greetings, family. How are you tonight? Well, got to tell you, this is an exciting time. I mean, even though we're seeing the madness continues with the COVID thing, and listen, they're talking about this thing is starting to, raise its head up again. They're talking about closing stuff up again, y'all. But guess what? Some folks had said that was going to happen. Remember? If you go back to some of our conversations with Sister Keisha and others, certainly it was said then. But anyway, we're pretty much aware and ready, at least to some degree, to continue to resist and fight back and move forward to real, real victory. Welcome again to this segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, also known as Dr. Filet, and tonight we are going to talk about Kaumba, creativity. Listen, you know, Black folks is not the most creative folk on the planet. Certainly, definitely one of them, way up there, top of there. And so now we have to look at how to utilize our creativity to our advantage when it comes to justice and liberation. Because definitely in the arts and so forth, we have seen all types of creativity. But when it comes to us getting what we need in terms of nation building, community building, holistic health and healing and so forth, that doesn't seem to manifest as much. So we're going to talk tonight about how we can, in fact, utilize greater creativity for real. And note, here's the operative word, irreversible justice and liberation. Okay? That's what we now have to do. We have to now deal with justice and liberation. And so, with that said, I want you all to get ready because we're going to have that conversation tonight. Joining us very shortly, we're going to talk some more with our brother, Dr. Haseem. He's going to be joining us shortly. And again, we're going to talk about all of the previous principles and leading up again to today, Kaumba. And then we're going to also talk about Imani as well because we're going to bring Imani in tonight. Yes, indeed. So you all get ready for that. You know, some folks don't want to go out and do what a lot of people do in terms of, the celebration, the ball dropping and all that kind of stuff. We want to be with each other and in a safe environment and without a whole lot of smoke and drink and so forth and so on. For some folks, that's just not their thing. And so for those who are more inclined for that, here we are. Okay? And we are indeed family. So again, we're going to have some good conversation tonight, and not only conversation, but we want to look to what it is we are literally not just planning now to do, but actually doing. So get ready again, family. So again, we're going to talk about creativity, how to utilize greater creativity for Umoja, Ujima, Ujima, Kujichangalia, Kaumba, Nia, all of the things that we know we must now begin to do. So with that said, family, again, we're going to open up the mic for you all, and we're going to do an open mic very shortly. We're going to wait for Dr. Haseem to join us, and then we're going to kick that off. We're going to also talk tonight about something that a lot of Black folks are familiar with, particularly those who are members or involved in the Baptist Church kind of thing, particularly the Baptists, because, you know, there's different Christian denominations, but certainly the Baptist Church is one that observe Watch Night. And so for those who are inclined to want to discuss that tonight, we certainly are ready to do so, because we, again, have to ask ourselves, what are we now going to apply to real justice and liberation? What part of our either religious concepts or belief systems and or spirituality and faith are we now going to literally apply to real justice and real liberation? Now that's a lot to think about, family, but certainly it is something that definitely needs to be discussed and needs to be looked at closer, because we've got to start looking at some action now. We can't keep having these conversations. We already know what some of the problems are. We already know what white supremacy and attempted global white supremacy is. But what we're not talking about is, at least not to the extent that we should, what are we now going to do about it? And so with that said, that's going to be part of our conversation tonight. So we're going to take a little break real quick, and then when I come back, we should be ready for the next phase of tonight's dialogue. And that, again, is hearing some responses, hearing some answers to how and what types of creativity must we now look at doing for real justice and real liberation, and also begin to now do when it comes to faith, our spirituality, etc., when it comes to, again, liberation and justice. Be back in a minute. Thank you. We've got to ask ourselves, what are we really doing? What are we really trying to do? What is it that we better start doing for real? Absolutely. We've got to ask ourselves. Moving right along, family. It's time to get down to the nitty-gritty. And so with that said, we're going to open up the mics for you all. If you have a comment or a suggestion, proposed ideas or what have you, because that's what we really want to start getting more into, bringing forward the creativity, the independent thinking, and how to put it into actual practice. We've talked over the past 6 days, well, 5 days, 6 days today, about the seven principles, and that's wonderful. However, what's the plan of action to literally embrace and implement those seven principles on a day-to-day basis? Well, that's what we want to talk about tonight. So, again, if you have something you want to share with us, you can press one now. And particularly in regards to the question that we were raising, which is, what can we do? What must we begin to do to bring about greater unity, umoja, kujichangalia, self-determination, ujima, cooperative work responsibility, ujima, cooperative economics, nia, purpose. What can we do? What must we do to bring about more realities when it comes to the seven principles? And not, again, of Kwanzaa, but also the seven principles of Ma'at. So, again, if you have a response to that, family, please press one now. And again, we would certainly love to hear your comment or your thoughts about any of those things that I just mentioned. Okay? All right, moving right along. Let's see. Doesn't seem like anybody has anything to share tonight. That's really strange. You all tend to be somewhat talkative, so not tonight, though. Okay, so the creative mode hasn't kicked in, I guess. But nevertheless, let me see if our brother, Dr. Haseen, is ready to join us. Let me check and see. I don't see him in queue yet, so let me just check to see if he is. Nope, I don't see him in queue yet. So we will wait for him to come in. And in the meantime, let's see, I think I do see him now. Yeah, I think I see Dr. Haseen in now. Dr. Haseen, if that's you, please press 1 so I'm sure that that's you. And then we are going to get, but yep, there he is. Okay. All right, family. So again, what we've been kind of reflecting on for today, of course, is the principle Number six, Kaumba, creativity. Now, again, my question is, and I'm sure that some of you have thought about it as well, what can we do? What are some of the things we can literally begin to do to bring about a greater sense and accomplishment of the Nguza Saba, both of Ma'at and of Kwanzaa? Again, these are good conversations, yet we're not actually implementing the realities of these things. And so we've got to look at this very carefully now and address it accordingly. So, okay, so Dr. Hasim is in queue. We're going to bring him in now. And he has some real thoughts. We've been talking over the past few days. And there's some things that he certainly wanted to share. And also to really have us to begin to not only examine further, but again, what parts of these conversations can you, will you actually embrace, utilize, apply? Just have conversations. That time is over. We will have dialogue always, certainly, but we have to now be able to look at and examine what the accomplishments are now going to be. So without further ado, we're going to bring our brother in, Dr. Hasim. And again, we're going to focus on all of the principles, of course, for the past 6 days, and including what's coming up, because we want to be holistic now. And tomorrow, of course, is the last day, and we are going to put more emphasis tonight on Kaumba creativity. And I'm surprised no one else had any other thoughts about, you know, utilizing those creative juices, creative thoughts, to come up with some possibilities of how we can be free using some creativity. Anyway, we'll come back to that later. Let's go to our live line, and let's talk with our brother, Dr. Hasim, and, of course, you know, he does have a new book that's coming out, and we will have it available as soon as, you know, it is ready to be released. And by the way, family, our book club starts this month, well, actually February, but we're letting people know that it is coming. And we have, you know, quite a few folks that we're going to be presenting or providing the distribution of their book. You know, Brother James Kligman, we'll be using his book, several others. So we're going to have a list for you very soon. So at any rate, let's go to our live line. And Dr. Hasim, you are going to have to come off a speakerphone, I think, because it tends to give us a feedback when you're on speakerphone. So now, yep, that sounds much better. Okay. So greetings to you, my brother, Haboy Ghani.
Greetings to you. Again, I'm always excited to be on the show. Thank you for having me.
Oh, definitely.
It's interesting.
Well, listen. Go ahead.
I was saying it's interesting we're talking about Kaumba because, you know, some of the things that you spoke to actually speak to it, about being creative in terms of the book club and some of the things we talk about. Those are different ways to be creative in terms of in our community based on what we have. And speak to the other six principles as well, especially the ones that we talked about before in terms of economics, because a book club is an excellent way to create money within the community.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, and what I mentioned earlier, Dr. Hasim, is, you know, we have shown and proven our creativity when it comes to the arts and also
right.
when it comes to sports, athletics and sports.
Right.
So why do you think, and I don't want to put you on the spot with this, but what are your thoughts in regards to why that has not transformed or been able to be brought forward when it comes to us dealing with the obtainment, fighting for, and, you know, really making some advancement when it comes to justice and liberation for our people?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me say this. I used to think the same way in that way in terms of, you know, we show our creativity definitely in sports. However, I've been noticing over the past few years that it's sports that gets most of the publicity. However, though, we're creative in other areas. Let me give you an example. When I was in college, and I didn't realize this, I went for undergrad. I went to a predominantly white institution, or predominantly PWI is what they call it. And the institution I went to, they were well known in engineering. And so a lot of African Americans, of course, would come to the university for engineering. But right down the street, there was North Carolina A&T, in which they equally had a well-known engineering program. But many African Americans, of course, felt as if they go to a predominantly white school that they would, of course, get more notice. Well, I found out more so that, like Microsoft, all these other companies in terms of that recruit engineers, a lot of them actually go to the HBCUs. And they go there for that reason, what we're just talking about, creativity. And so I'm just saying this to say is that it's things like your show and other media outlets, people on YouTube that actually bring that creativity other than sports that is actually out there, because it is out there. It's not just we need the media. We need outlets to be able to show that creativity exists and bring it more to the forefront.
And so that in itself is kind of, a focal point, meaning how can we do that? Mm-hmm. Because, again, you're right. Sports and athletics is, of course, highlighted to a great extent. But so is the arts. In other words, music, dance, theater. Most of the youth in particular though they look at sports, but definitely the music.
Music
and TV, or film, all of the things that deals with the visual and the audio arts.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Right.
So
right.
That has a real impact. Now, historically, those things were used very much for us to help give us awareness to help us to deal with the different kind of depression and oppression and stuff. But now it seems like that's kind of dissipating the usage of the arts for us where it had been, through jazz, bebop, so forth, and then even through rock and roll with the greats like Marvin Gaye and Curtis Mayfield and even the dance songs was more, it had more spirit to it. The Supremes and the Delphonics and, even if they were saying, I love you, it was in sync with our, as some say, frequencies, So, but now it seems like, first of all, a lot of the music is manufactured. It's done through machines as opposed to, actual instruments, right?
Mm-hmm.
For concert.
Prince spoke to that same point. But however, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, and now it has become the norm that the only time you see live stuff is when you go to, like, maybe a show or a concert. But the music that we're hearing like on the radio or even TV or whatever, the way that they're manufacturing that music is through synthesizers and other kinds of equipment and beatbox and and so again, how are we going to get back to, or if not back to, how are we going to advance the great music and art that we once had, the Nina Simones, the John Coltranes, and then even later on, those who brought back Public Enemy, X-Clan, Digital Planets, Arrested Development. What's happening?
Well, I will say this, just as some say what life is brought out of death, And what I'm saying is not so much that music is dead or our creativity is dead. It's just going through a phase. And out of this phase will actually come the very thing that we want. And I just believe that. Right at the moment, it's just the time that we're in, mm-hmm. Where, of course, we're seeing more of what we don't want to see. And I think, and some of those other people still exist, but they're far and few in between, you know. But I think this is just a phase or a change towards, as you said, greater creativity on the on the output.
Okay. Well, Dr. Hasim, I want you to stay right there because a sister just texted me and said she was trying to get in, but it's not coming up on my boards, which, you know, is understandable because it's technology and, you know, for those that don't know, I mean, while it definitely has its advantages, it definitely is not 100%. So, you know, always keep that in mind. These are tools. It's like a car. You know, you can have a car and it can take you where you need to go, but at some point, you know, that car might not function correctly for whatever reason. So technology is the same.
Right, and that's a good point. I know you spoke about music, but there's other ways that can be creative. And that analogy you gave speaks to that, you know, about the car. It's a tool. Music is a tool.
That's right.
You know, we have different tools in terms, and I think that's where the creativity comes in, our ability to recognize the tool and use that, as you say, to bring things in our community. And that's where the true creativity comes.
That's right. That's right. But Dr. Hasim, it seems that there are some things that are a little more, you know, I guess the essence is kind of a word that I would describe or use to describe what I'm thinking about. You know, there are different tools and different mechanisms, but there are some mm-hmm. things that really have that capability of touching the inner, you know, the inner being, the heart, the soul,
right.
or whatever, the ba, the ka, or whatever one wants to call it. See, we got to start bringing these terms out, these concepts. We have to start, you
right.
know, reintroducing some of the language or some of the jargon that is really indigenous to us because, you know, we're taking so much, not we per se, but people are taking so many things for granted, and we're not analyzing it. For example, and then we're gonna bring in Sister Sheila because she just texted me, want to bring in, get her comments and thoughts. But, you know, again, and I know a lot of people already know this, the mere fact that the days of the week, or, you know, many of those days of the week, at least three or four of them, are really in representation of the planets, you see.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
And so, but people take it for granted. You know, we just, we don't connect those things. We just, you know, oh, okay, you know,
right.
Sunday, Monday.
Right. Right.
I mean, you know, these days are actually, you know, moon, you know, representing the moon and representing the sun. And then there are months, of course, that are relevant to, again, if not the month per se, some other connected aspect of it, you know. And it tends, again, as we know, coming from a Eurocentric frame of reference. But yet, we have to deal with that. So my point is we have to now make certain that we interject, you know, whenever we can or whenever we feel we should, the concepts that we want to now, you know, make, you know, put in the mix. And for me, that helps to lessen, you know, the damage or lessen the impact of attempted global white supremacy.
Well, that's a great way of actually bringing it around. And I agree. And that's one of the things that I work to and I incorporate is that idea of naming things. Of course, you know, many different people say exactly what you say in a different way. But ideally, the general term is centeredness, you know, being centered around the culture. And as you mentioned, there's with culture, you have language. And with language, then brings even more creativity because, as Job said, that speaks to your attitudes. But even more, it speaks to your personality, as you say. And your personality gives you that creative aspect of you to allow like you say, to recognize things and do things in a particular way. So, yes, I mean, I agree with everything you just said.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what we're going to do, we're going to bring Sister Sheila in a few moments. She wanted to share some thoughts. But before we do, I just wanted to also add one other thing to what you just said, Dr. Hasim, and that is, you know, again, culture. But I also want to make sure we connect what I call the black dots. And, of course, when I talk about the black dot, I'm also referencing, do you remember a great scholar by the name of Dr. Richard King?
Yes, I've heard of that name, yes.
Yes, well, years ago, and see, again, we have to be very clear and careful now to make certain we bring forward the work of some of our great ancestors. And Dr. Richard King, for those who do not know, if you Google him, his name, and with that put in the black dot theory, he was one even before Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. And by the way, Sunday we'll be doing a special Zoom program to pay tribute to the work, the legacy of Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. Sunday will be her, what we call, Ancestral Day. That will be the day that she made transition, January the 2nd. And so we will be talking about her work, and joining us on Sunday will be Dr. Ray Winbush. And, of course, he and others co-wrote a book in regards to Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. So we'll be talking about that and also other things because, of course, Dr. Ray Winbush is very active in the reparations / reparatory justice movement. So we'll be talking about that, too. But going back to what I was saying about Dr. Richard King, family, please Google him because he will also be one of our study group discussions and talking about the black dot. The black dot in reference to the pineal gland, some call the third eye, or it has been called the third eye. And Dr. Richard King was writing about it years ago and telling us about the power of the pineal gland, also known as the black dot. You see, and so these are the things, and one of the things we talked about the other evening is know thyself before we can, you know, do all this other stuff to any great degree or the degree that we want to. We have to also make sure we know thyself. So again, you know, make sure you take a note either mentally or write it down. Dr. Richard King, the black dot. And we'll be talking more about that at another time. Okay, let's bring in Sister Sheila. Oh, go ahead, my brother.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to add, as I shared, I am familiar with Dr. King. However, also in the area of African psychology, there were a group of psychologists even back then that were doing investigations on this conceptualization of melanin. From my understanding, yes. Dr. Phil McGee was one of those, and mm-hmm. that did that in that area as well. And even mm-hmm. now, there's mm-hmm. there's another brother out of Clark, Atlanta, that does it. And also Dr. Andrew Bynum speaks on that, too, from my understanding as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. And we'll definitely be talking more about that because it's very important that our people really have a better understanding, overstanding of why we must excel to a greater extent. I mean, it's absolutely necessary. It's in our DNA, and that puts it mildly, okay? So, okay, let's bring in Sister Sheila and get some of her comments and thoughts, and Brother Hasim, you stay right there. And, all right, greetings, my sister. Can you hear me? Sister Sheila? Okay. Okay.
Well, Barragani.
Okay. Oh, Kaumba.
Kaumba creativity.
Yes.
Greetings all, and many blessings to you both, and thank you for allowing me in. And it's interesting that you mentioned these dots and connecting the dots. In connecting the dots, what I see with our children, as you might recall, I know you recall, Sister Phila, but the younger generation might not understand. Of course, the arts, music, fine arts, drawing, painting, dancing, all of that is what, how do I say, how we express our anger and our emotions and everything. Well, that's been stunted with the children because it's not part of the curriculum anymore. And I think that might be the reason why you're not getting, you know, the Nina Simones and the Ray Charleses and, you know, all of those because they are not learning. It's not part of the curriculum. I mean, we're talking even home economics. We're talking the wood shop that the guys used to have. We're talking, you know, art. We're talking voice. We're talking music lessons. None of that. And I believe that that is why our children are like kind of bouncing off of the walls because there's this creativity inside of them that's been blocked. So I think that as adults, you know, whether it's working with the sister, you know I'm talking about, I'm blanking on her name now, you know, the one that does work with the school district. She and her husband. I don't know why I'm blanking on her name. She's one of
Mama
the
Gail.
Things, yes, thank you. Yes, Mama Gail. You know, from the standpoint of, I guess, releasing that creativity, it can't happen if the children aren't taught any of it or if they don't have an opportunity to express it. And if the school district doesn't want to do it, then we might have to do it ourselves. Now, that creates a whole different thing because, of course, it requires money. I was involved with a group called the Mount Airy Cultural Center, and people like Pieces of a Dream came out of it. Some of the Roots came up out of it, you know, and this was a group of volunteer teachers, Tony Williams and Wes Norton and this, that, and the other, and we met, we didn't even have a building, but we met at different places around the city, you know, for years. Okay. And out of that is what born, you know, those people like Pieces of a Dream and people that carry on that music. Our children, everybody's not academic. Everybody's not made to be academic. If you notice, when it comes to even building, the building trade, you know, and that's an art in and of itself, you know, in terms of the tools and all that other kind of thing that the guys do. Well, the building trades, if you just look around the city and drive around and look at who you see that's actually building, it's not many of us, very few of us. We are help. We're laborers. I just recently had some work done in my home, and the other people were doing all of the installation, and then there was a great big tall guy from Haiti, and he was the laborer. He was carrying the stuff out and, you know, bringing the stuff in. But in terms of that adhesion, you know, and, you know, back in the days when we were coming up, Sister Phila, you remember people used to make the silver jewelry. You know, and they would be, you know, making the spoons out of bracelets and all this other kind of stuff, you know. And that level of creativity, it's not there because it's not being nurtured, okay? And so,
so
that's connecting the dots in my mind.
Okay. So now, and I totally agree, but you also, my sister, brought out two or three major points. One, we are expecting the enemy to do certain things for our advancement. That's an error in itself. At this stage of the game. See, years ago, we did not know certain things. We did not have Dr. Francis Kweswalsing or Dr. Kwabi Nanashanti or Dr. Malefi Asante. In other words, the information was minimum. We had some, you know, you had Black history, but of course a lot of that was, you know, wasn't really getting into the real nitty-gritty stuff, right?
Right.
So people did what they did. Right. But years have passed now. So here's my point. Now, and here's the second area. I don't necessarily, and I get your point, but at the same time, a lot of our people didn't go to school. See, when that creativity was flowing from them, they hadn't gone to school for that. That was something relatively ingrained, you see.
Right. But it's
and so
nurtured.
While, right, but nurtured from our people. See, again, I think we have to be really careful. And don't get me wrong, you're right. There were a lot of advantages that did occur by segregation. I'm sorry, desegregation, right? There were some advantages. However, we have to also look at the bigger picture. The other thing, too, is, like, for example, my dad, right? See, my dad was a tailor, a carpenter, a barber, and a cook, all self-taught. See, so, and this is what our people used to do because there was a natural flow and necessity that went with certain things. So my point is this. Yes, school can and has and definitely, you know, in some cases will continue to provide, information or, you know, innovation or what have you. But we have to ask ourselves, at least this is just me and family, we love your view and opinion because I don't know it all. I ain't trying to know it all. So whatever you all think or want to share is definitely welcome. But what I'm saying is for me that from my vantage point, I think it's on us, not dumb people. Because now they realize that we are not going to stay enslaved forever. And so they realize that their little plan that they had to keep us totally oppressed and suppressed, that's not going to happen. Truth crushed to the earth will rise again, and they're seeing it. So now they're like, well, we ain't going to do this, we ain't going to do that, y'all ain't getting this, y'all ain't getting that, you see, because they feel like, you know, we have come too, we've advanced too much, and they ain't trying to see that. They ain't having that. So they got new Negroes now to do the other kind of labor and so forth and so on. So my point is we cannot by any far stretch of the imagination depend on anything
they're not doing anything. In other words, I agree with you. We don't completely, totally depend on them, but we ask them to do a part, and then we do our part. Yes. I mean, in other words, it's our tax dollars, okay? It's our tax dollars.
That's why we need to stop paying them.
Or we demand that our taxes be put in where we want them to go, which means that some of it goes to the whole arts and the fine arts and the dance arts and the, you know, whatever kinds of home ec or whatever it is, you know, that our children need. In addition, I agree with you 100%. It has to come from many different ways. It's not just in school. It's our churches. Matter of fact, let me tell you, say this. A friend of mine was talking, and he was saying that back when he was coming along, during that time, they pulled the Jewish children out of school during school time and sent them to the, what is it, you know, the synagogue to do their, you know what I'm talking about, what is it that
right.
Jewish people, whatever
right.
they go through, you know, in terms of
right.
like a rite
right.
of passage, we would call it, you know,
right.
When they go through their, you know. And I was shocked when he said that. I said, oh, really, during school time? So he said, yes,
right.
twice a week on whatever, Monday and Wednesday, they left and they went to the synagogue and did their whatever,
right.
you know, whatever it's called.
Right.
Okay. And it's those kinds of putting it together because, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Racism has been here all along. I mean, you know, but this issue with the children, you know, from what I'm seeing in school, they're so frustrated because all of them aren't academicians. You know, all of them aren't meant to be that. Art saves, how many artists did art save? I mean, look at Freedom Theater. I mean, matter of fact, look at Freedom Theater now. Okay. As a matter of fact, I looked it up the other
day. Yeah, it doesn't exist.
And,
the building is there, but that's all.
But, you know, I looked it up the other day. I said, let me, because I was talking to an elder, and he told me that it was called Heritage House way back in the day. Okay.
Yeah.
And he said, and he was talking about, you know, how it worked and after school and how everybody went. I looked it up. Now it's called the New Freedom Theater. And I looked at
some
of the board members.
Yeah, it was called that once. Yeah, it was called that once it went through the renovation. It was called the New Freedom Theater.
Well,
I didn't have it recently.
Okay, I saw it online. And some of their board members are people like Jill Scott. There was a lot of different young people who themselves are like entertainers, you know, of some sort. I don't know if they're into, you know, pushing and motivating them, their own agendas, you know, so that they can, but it's still operating and I'm not certain who's in charge, but like I said, I did look at their board members
and it's
I
recent?
Was surprised.
That was for 2021?
I looked at it. I didn't look at the date of the website.
Yeah, you need to
look.
Yeah, you need to look at the date because and I'm pretty certain that that Freedom Theater, and I could be wrong, but if I remember correctly, 2 years ago, Freedom Theater was totally dismantled. They fired the board, fired, you know, all of the people who had worked there for years. Hmm. And you see again, we already knew that was going to happen because when you start getting a couple of million dollars to renovate mm-hmm. and to run your program, you
yep.
best
as
believe.
As soon as the building got done, I noticed it.
That's right.
As soon
they
as
let
the
that thing run for
complete.
About 5 years. Right.
Yep.
So we
yep.
knew that that was going to happen because there was no way, particularly with it being on the campus of Temple University, there was no way that that building and that program was going to stay operable. What these people do is they always give folks some money because they need placeholders, and they need to also make it look like they're doing the right thing in the community. But listen, I want to start right there. I want to bring Dr. Hasim back in because, you know, I know he's also evaluating some of the psychological stuff, the connection to the mental, you know, with what we've said thus far, there's
yeah.
these other operative factors that we have to look
yeah.
at. And again, what I'm saying is that we have to ask ourselves and one another, what are you, we doing? Because
right.
where's the programs that we are either establishing, connecting with others on, and so forth. See, we've got to look at how the enemy is able to continue to do what they do to destroy us by virtue of the fact that we don't have our own programs.
I agree, but I don't think we need to be constantly looking at the enemy. I think we need to be constantly looking at our own situation and trying to correct.
That's what I just said. That's what I said. We have to ask ourselves, but wait a minute, we're in 2021, almost 2022.
Mm-hmm.
So my sister, these questions that we keep asking ourselves, it boggles my mind. It really does, because I've heard this for decades.
Well, I mean, I don't know what everybody else is doing. I do know what I'm doing. Okay, and what I'm doing with the children, 20,000 children later, okay, I mean, one of our programs is a cultural piece. And I was amazed. You know how the children love the beat? You know, that's what they like about this music is the beat. Not so much what they say, but they're into the beat. Well, I took those little girls and I played Fela for them. You know, the
Fela.
Well, you know, we are talking about the same guy. Okay, right. And the point is that those little girls, I couldn't believe it. Honey, they got stood up straight and tall and proceeded to run across the stage.
Let me ask you this question, my sister. Let me ask you this question, and then I'm going to go to the point that I'm actually making in this whole thing. We don't deal with this reality. Is your program independent?
Yes, it's independent of, well, what do you mean independent? Define what you mean.
It's not being funded by the enemy.
I mean,
No. It's either yes or no. It's either, see, this is why we've got to really tell the truth about what has happened.
Yes, I mean, we are a nonprofit organization. Let me say who the main funder is. Me. Let me be real clear. I work for free, and I have always worked for free. I don't take $1 million salary.
No,
I don't take any salary.
Let me be clear again. See, let me be clear again.
If you had a person that was the whatever CEO or whatever you want to call him, the person in charge along with the program, you would be paying that person $100,000 a year.
Okay, you're right. But this is why this is part of the trickery, my sister. See, this is why people now say what they think independent is, as opposed to dealing with self-determination in a context of what it means for us politically, etc. So what happened from the 1950s to the 1960s, and then after that is this. The definition of things changed drastically in such a way where the idea of independent, for example, do you remember CB? The organization called CB. It was independent education. So in other words, the various independent schools, and note, independent.
Like Lowe's
there was
Academy.
Groups. Well, they are private school, absolutely. See, we've mixed this stuff in now in such a way where, and this is what people have gotten away with over the years, meaning like, they'll say, well, you know, I'm putting my money in. And so, yes, you know, and yeah, you're absolutely correct. However, the funding, the other pieces of funding, see, we didn't do that before. That was done to do exactly what it did. For example, the House of Umoja, when it first started,
mm-hmm.
And it said it in all of its literature, in its doctrine, in everything, that it was self-determination independent.
Mm-hmm.
That everything they did came from them, the people that they were affiliated with, etc. Because at that point in time, independent meant independent.
Mm-hmm.
You could raise monies amongst each other. you see,
right.
But it was still black. The stores could, you know, like black stores or whatever, but it was still black. But once these people, other people said, well, listen, we're going to make some money available, then all this stuff flip-flopped real quickly. And stuff started going down.
Let me just say this. There's a bunch of nonprofits, small nonprofits like we are, who aren't funded, period. I mean, they might throw $10,000 at them. Well, you can't even pay one person a quarter of a salary.
Then why be nonprofit? Purpose of being nonprofit then?
So that when people donate to you, they can write it off. And
right, and that's part of the game.
Because, sister,
I'm trying to tell you something. I'll go into more detail at another time. That's all a part of the game. And once you understand, as Dr. Francis Creswell Singh taught us, if you do not understand the system of white supremacy, everything else will only confuse you.
Right. Right,
and I'm
right.
saying to you this because we've watched how they did what they did. The Black Panther Party was too powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And while it would get donations, they didn't get donations in the context of people being write it off on their taxes. You see the difference? You see the difference?
Okay.
There's no strings attached. There's no strings. When you do that 501 thing, two things happen. Number one, you cannot discriminate.
Mm-mm.
Meaning, if somebody white, purple, or whatever wants to be a part of your program, you have to do that. Exactly.
Right.
So they knew exactly what to do to neutralize black power. If there's another sexual agenda, you can't discriminate. You see? See, we have to be real clear about what this thing really is that's going on.
But in terms of, you know, I guess I don't want to, it's almost like we want to create something that's a little bit different. We have to think differently. I think, yes, we need to know where they are, but we know where they are. They show us, been showing us for 400 years where they are and how they feel about us.
That's why I keep saying, what's our plan? That's why I keep saying that, because we keep saying that same thing. They know,
what I'm suggesting is that, let's say, if the Jewish children were pulled out of their schools in order to be in whatever they call it. I'm sorry. I wish I could remember what the heck it is. But, you know, to be in that program, then why can't we pull them out for them to be in another program, you know, such as ours?
Right,
and
who's
that was full time.
I hear you. I hear you, and I'm saying to you again, for example, we have a petition out there that we started a couple of months ago in order for us to have black studies or black history in the public schools. Now, just with that, something as simple as that, watch how long it's going to take folk to get around to supporting that. So you're right.
Oh, well,
you
got that critical race theory people on the opposite side, but here's
the point that I'm making.
That.
If people won't even sign a petition for us to have black history in the schools, who do you think is going to be consistent enough, committed enough to pull our children out of school for a program outside of the school? They ain't get it yet.
Well, I mean, I guess I feel as though, you know, if we can't pull them out, then go in. I mean, there's more than one way to get
it. Okay, sounds good. sounds good. And all I'm saying again is without an action plan, because a lot of this is what we should do. What's the action plan? Because anything that I say, my sister, about what I think we should do, I guarantee you I have at least a proposed action plan to go with it.
And,
but anyway, we got our brother sitting over there, and he ain't saying nothing. So I want to give him the opportunity to come back in.
I'd love to hear his input. Go ahead.
Well, I was just listening to you both. You both brought up some good points. Let me say, and you all may disagree or agree, I will say that I am in agreement about independence. However, I am also a thinker of social networking with others. And the last time I checked, you know, the donations that came into the Black Panther Party and the Nation of Islam, that as examples, that didn't neutralize them or shut the party down. That had to do more so with internal and external exploits. And so what I'm saying is sometimes we can focus on the make something minor major. And so in that way, dealing with interacting with other races, I have no problem with that. Now, the other part to that is, as you said, you know, the base of that or the prime factor of that is that you must know yourself to be able to do that. Otherwise, as Dr. Filet mentioned, right, then, of course, anything that you want to do is not controlled by you. But I'm not in disagreement with – you know, social cooperation. I'm not by any means.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
We need to think differently for the time.
Dr. Hasim, can I do a quick sidebar? Because
go ahead.
Again, it's important to differentiate what I said. Meaning, it's one thing when an entity donates. It's another thing when the donation is by way of a 501c3 government structure. The donation that an entity gives you because they want to give it to you with no strings attached, that is what you said. I agree. Anybody can do that. I've had that. I've had people to donate to me, you know, anonymously, and some just would donate and, you know, they ain't want nobody to know about it. Because it was about the donate, it was about, you know, supporting
the work,
you see. But when you sign up, see, this is critical. When you sign up, particularly when it comes to finances, you got to remember what this country is built on. Once you do that, you go into an agreement of a different modality for your liberation. And see, this is a very interesting scientific kind of thing. And they knew it very well. They understood it very well. That's why, again, the Black Panther Party got donations from all kinds of people. But there was no strings attached. You see, they did it because they wanted to support the struggle. You got people now making donations because they want the write-off. Well, some would want to support the struggle, too. But I'm saying once you have a system that tells you how somebody can support you, you better check that out real carefully. Because there's a whole kind of, and again, I'm going to say psychological effect that is involved here, you see. And we better look at the systemic operations a little more carefully, the tracking of it, the conditions as to how it can be done. Perfect example, the Black United County here in Philadelphia was the only group that could function similarly like the United Way. They also had a chapter in New York, Chicago, Detroit, and some of them are still remaining. So they acted as a conduit for different groups, organizations, and you were able to give your money to the Black United Fund, right? Just like you could to the United Way. That did exist. But once this government saw that that could work, they then started examining those groups and organizations and shutting them down based on misappropriation of funds.
Hmm.
See, once they see you doing something that they can't control, once you buy into their little plan.
Let me ask you this. Were they misappropriating funds? Were they? I'm just asking.
Well, I'm going to say this. Every corporation or group that I know, and I'm talking about when it comes over, say, $500,000,
mm-hmm.
is not using the money exactly the way the government tells you.
Hmm. Oh, no.
See,
okay.
Well, again, this is something that I study, and I study it because the reason why I did not do a collection in 1997, which it is estimated that I let $2 million go, the reason why I did not do the collection that I could have done
mm-hmm.
that would have brought me
mm-hmm.
in a minimum of $2 million
mm-hmm.
is because somebody hit me to some true reality. I had a critical decision that was already being set up. And I could have very well went and allowed that money to happen. But I would have paid
so
the price for it later.
So
go
let
ahead,
me ask
brother.
You this now that you – now that you know what you know now, what would you do at this point in time should those donations come in or somebody wants to donate to you? Would you ask questions? What would you do now that you're wiser and you have more knowledge given, you know, the previous history you had?
Well, again, I won't go into details right now, but it did take us some time to learn.
Sister Filet, somehow your voice is going in and out.
I was saying,
okay, now,
can you hear me now?
Yes,
I was saying
yes.
It took this period of time for us to learn learn the ropes, let's put it that way. And as a result, now we know what to do. It's not foolproof, but I can tell you it's certainly a whole lot better than what it was 20 years ago because I had no idea about certain things, and nobody was trying to help me to learn. So I had to, you know, wait this whole time out and ride this process through. So to answer your question, Dr. Hasim, and I'll elaborate at another time, we now know how to generate millions of dollars, just like corporations do. Well, not just like they do, but, you know, you got corporations who they ain't even paying no taxes, and they're funneling millions of dollars on a day-to-day basis. But see, Black folks are not taught that kind of stuff. And so one of the reasons why I have the We Charge Genocide 21 is because when you're dealing with the issue of remedies, it's just like you get hit by a car. You have the right to have your injury compensated for. So, see, I'm not asking in the same way that most people do. We've studied this stuff for 15 years now to have a better understanding as to how not to get trapped into the clutches of this system in the way that they do. Once you sign, I've never had a 501c3, never. But I work with people that do have that. See, again, you have to know how to do these things. So I have people who have been fiduciaries or conduits. We'll pay them to transact some business. This is how corporate stuff works.
I think you brought up some good points, you know, dealing with, like you said, you have to, in any walk of life or anything that you do, you have to know what it is that you're getting yourself into. And then once you know, then you can make transactions accordingly. Right. And so that's good to know
right.
that, you know,
right.
how you decide to move. And it's still, here's the key thing is that, you know, you keep, how can I say, yeah, you can say that you want to remove yourself from the system or do this from the system, but everybody competes within that system, and so can you, based on your ability to be able to navigate the system. The system
mm-hmm.
doesn't penalize, so to speak, one group of people all the time. The system is the system. There's rules in the system.
That's right.
And so you
That's
learn
right.
those rules.
How?
You learn those rules. When I was in Namibia, for example, Namibia is an African country. It's primarily African. The parliament, everything's African. But in that country, there's still remnants of there's German people in Namibia. And the hotel industry, for example, although that's an African-owned country and everything, they are the primary people in that system, but they operate within the rules of that particular country. So they're still able to navigate and do what they need to do within the rules of that country.
And that's why, again, in establishing our position, you see, if people, this is why I found it so amazing that a lot of our scholars and learned people did not take the time to examine the Million Woman March. And I understood that because they really did not anticipate or grasp what it really was, you see. And so here's my point, Dr. Hussein, but remember, this is why, again, if you heard us talk about the We Charge Genocide 21, we made it very clear that come September we're going to hold our first pre-plebiscite session. Why? So you just made reference to a country, a nation, you see. So, and when you look up the definition of a nation, most people, you'll be very surprised what it actually is. But there's different levels of that. So my point is you have to go through these processes. And once you are established in a certain manner, in a certain venue, then you can operate in that venue. And lastly, and then I'm going to leave it alone, 501c3 is not the only nonprofit status that you can have. But it is the main one that most Black folks are told and taught that they should get. And there's a reason for that. You see? And so I'm saying, again, at this stage of the game, we have got to see what happened to dismantle self-determination and independence from the 1960s. Why Black power had to be neutralized, and how did that happen? And like you said, Brother Hussein, yes, there were donations, contributions sent to the Nation of Islam as well as other groups. However, you did not have to file for that. You didn't have to report all of that. You see? See, once you do that, once you have that capability, you then can do things in the way that behooves you, that's in your best interest. That's your money, and you have not locked yourself into a system to the degree where you can and cannot do certain things. That's why people that have a large sum of money also have offshore accounts. Because they're smart enough to know you better not do certain things in this country and leave it that way. Y'all real quiet now.
Okay. So, Thinking creatively, you know, we're looking at creativity. I'm focused with children. I can't help it because I see our children. This is the first time I've ever seen them looking so sad. You know, children are supposed to laugh and smile, but I don't, there's nothing to laugh and smile about because their circumstances are something that we did not have to go through, okay? And some of the circumstances are terrible. They're horrible. Okay? I mean,
and,
you know,
and again, we are not giving them anything. We're not giving them anything.
And, right.
Well, I would say we are giving them something, and that's the same thing that we've been giving
them.
Yes. And unfortunately, you know, that's the concern. But however, you have a lot of people that, you know, some will not listen, some will, some will not listen. And so, however, my pet peeve really is, and I should say this with care, because again, scholars paved the way. If it was not for them, then we wouldn't be where we're at now. However, this idea of, if you just think about, as she just said, she works with children. Imagine a child growing up that does not know anything about white supremacy, and they are, but they're taught, and they love music, and they do all this, and all of a sudden they get to an age, and here they see somebody on YouTube talking about white supremacy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as the only concept in the world, mind you. So that's all they in other words, if they just think about white supremacy, this concept all day long, that's all that they're going to be thinking about. That in and of itself is going to stunt their creativity, because all in the back of their mind, they're thinking about, okay, man, I can only do this, or I can only go this far, or I'm thinking about if I do this, I got white supremacy blink. And that thinking is that's abnormal thinking.
Yeah,
it's,
I don't think you need to do that.
And I do
agree,
but unfortunately, because of the level of sophistication that we are presently dealing with and that's presently upon us, particularly as it pertains to the technology that's being used in all kinds of ways. See, in nowadays, you don't have to talk about white supremacy. See, we're having the dialogue because we're familiar with those terminologies and concepts. But on a day-to-day basis, those words never have to be said. There never have to be said anything about racism. There never has to be anything said about all these other, you know, words that we use. Because the way that the system is structured, from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you go to sleep at night, it is embedded with different concepts, triggers, and all other kinds of things. We all know this.
Right. You said the key thing. It's embedded. In other words,
it's
learned.
Exactly.
And so therefore, if you learn the type of things that the sister is sharing in terms of music and things of that nature on top of who you are, that same type of thing is that learning or that knowing of self will allow for you to be able to function in the world.
Yes,
you know?
But again, you have to do that in a situation, like the sister just said about how some of the Jewish people, and I know this because I've studied some of that too. See, again, you're both correct, but those other groups of peoples, they create a very distinct operation. So even though their children are subjected to the regular everyday stuff, they make certain that they have another apparatus to keep that stuff at bay or to keep it in some other kind of momentum or capability. Now, with us, we accept, and I mean us, you and I, you know, and Dr. Hashi, for the black folks, accept whatever these devils tell them.
Let me give you an example.
And not only accept it, but will perpetuate it.
Right.
For example.
That's a good point.
I'm sorry.
We're actually the very ones that are perpetuating this in a way, although we want to help. By bringing this to our awareness, so to speak, in reality, we are the ones perpetuating that very thing that we want to know, sort of, you know. But it's in actuality, it's it's causing a problem. It's causing the very thing that we want to actually increase. We want to increase our creativity. And by talking about those things, it's going to really decrease it.
Dr. Hussein, now you're a psychologist.
I'm a counselor educator by training. I was trained as an African psychologist outside of the university setting, per se. But then in academia, I was my background is counselor education.
Okay. So now, for example, let me just kind of give a scenario. I'll never forget one day, I had a roof being done, and they gave me a price. And then they came down and said, oh, something else is going on, and we're going to charge you more. I don't think they expected that I was going to climb up on the roof to see what they were talking about. As long as I was looking up and climbing up that ladder, I was fine because I was going to get to my roof to see what on earth they were talking about. They were going to charge me twice as much. Okay. Fine. I got up there. I didn't see anything and told them to get the heck down and start raising Cain up on the roof. Now, I'm ready to come down from the roof, okay, and take that first step onto the ladder. Well, it took me about 2 hours. As long as I was looking up and climbing up, I was moving. But when I had to look down where I had to go because I'm afraid of heights, it took me 2 hours to get up off of that roof. And I'm giving that analogy to compare. We cannot on what he's doing. We know what he is doing, and what he is doing is killing us and our children.
And
so we have to develop our own.
That's what I've said. Right. And
focus.
So you're repeating pretty much what I said, which is, what are we proposing to do? That's exactly what I started off with. We keep talking about, and again,
I'm
we have
what,
to talk
I'm
about the problem. What are we proposing to do?
What we're proposing, what I'm proposing to do, and I'm just throwing anything out there. Okay, throw enough stuff up against the wall, something's going to stick. Okay, the combination of, yes, activism in terms of that school district and making them do something in terms of bringing some of these various art forms back into the school, in addition to those organizations and people and individuals that are willing to teach dance, to teach drumming.
Wonderful. Now, how is that going to be organized for that to happen?
Okay, well, of course, that has it, me saying it is not going to happen.
And that's the point
it.
That I'm making. That,
okay,
I'm
but,
saying
no, no,
that's
no.
the point that I'm making. We continue to say this is what we need to do. And I'm saying after 20 years of hearing that from a lot of different, you know, people and angles and all of that, I now have to ask what is the motor operandum.
Right.
What is
the
plan of action?
Because
we can't keep saying this what we need to do without saying, so now in February, during the middle of February, I'm going to call a meeting and I'm going to contact this organization, and if you don't have a plan of, and I'm not saying it's going to work, but at least there is a projection for action.
Right. And that takes sitting down, I think, Tank, me. In other words, you, myself, a bunch of other people, or whoever wants to come, that takes planning. You can't just do it.
Already know that. We're at the stage now of the when and the how. So you're absolutely correct. This is what we need to do. For example, that's why I said Sunday from 4:00 to 7:00, people will be able to call into Zoom, share their views and information about Dr. Francis Kress-Welsing, and hear from a person who knew her personally, wrote a book about her and others, and so forth. So if there's not a plan of action.
I agree. No one's disagreeing. I think we're all agreeing. There definitely needs a plan of action. And in order to have a plan of action, you have to have an objective. And the objective here is to make certain that our children are exposed to various art forms. Now, you might identify who's doing that. Okay, who's doing the dancing? Who's doing the teaching? Who's doing the music? Who's doing the carpentry? Who's doing these things? So that's the first step. You find out who is in the area in the community. You have to do, what do they call
it?
Geomapping.
I can say this with safety. Some of that you already know.
Right. So
some of that
I'm
you
saying,
already know.
Of course, but in terms of
Okay. So now, since that's something that you already know, at least to some degree, you know that Kule Mile is dancing. You know that Zumbi has drummers and Brother Wasette. And so
you know
certain things already. So now, store what you know. What is the motor operations to coordinate that?
Well, you set up a place.
I'm saying this is what you're saying is what you think, and I agree.
You know, you find
a
place.
What I'm suggesting find a place. And in this day and age, you'll need to find a place because Zoom is so readily available.
Yeah.
So for the initial conversation, you have the capability to connect to anyone at any time.
Right. I agree. I mean, you know, but I guess I'm talking about the steps. So you do the asset mapping. You know, you prepare a letter and you tell them what it is that you want to do.
Okay.
And you say, we're going to have a meeting on such and such a day and time.
Okay.
And then,
let me just ask this one quick question because somebody wanted to come in and I wanted to bring them in. So since you now know what to do or you know what to do, my question is, when are we going to do this?
Okay. I mean,
let me be real clear. Me too.
I have an organization that I'm running. Okay.
Right.
So when
me
are we
too.
Going to do it? I mean, you know, we go through our calendars and we figure out a date, and then whoever shows up, and whoever doesn't.
Okay. But at least to put it in place, at least to begin the process.
Right.
And that's what I'm merely suggesting. There's some things that we already know what to do. Since we already know what to do, then when is it that we are doing it that we know to do?
Well, we all look at our calendar, and we see when's the best place to do it. Let me just say this, though. You can't teach music over Zoom to children.
I'm talking about the first. No. The first step is to talk to the people who provide those services. That's the first step. That's what you said. But hold on right there. Let's bring in caller.
Bring
you
in.
Are at 7000, and your mic is open. 300. 7000. Your mic is open.
Yes. Hello.
Greetings.
Hello, ladies. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, greetings. We're waiting for you to give us whatever it is.
I apologize for not getting on there. I'm ready for the Happy New Year, and I'm sure you all are too.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I guess it's a little on the rough side.
Is that in reference to the conversation?
Yes, I just want to know, I would like to know where I can help sign up for this, the Black history that wants to be taught in schools.
Okay. Are you, what city are you in?
I'm in Ontario, California.
Okay.
And thank you for taking
so
my call.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for calling. Okay, so presently this particular campaign is being launched in Philadelphia because, you know, every city, every state has their own, you know, structure and how they're going to do certain things. It just so happens that starting next month for Philadelphia, and we'll be doing some of it online as well, but what we realize is that a lot of our people do not know basic civics. And so in order to move things forward within a system, you have to kind of know some of the moving parts and pieces. So starting, we'll be at Spirit First Foods every third Saturday for the next 3 months. We are scheduled to be there from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And they will also be Zoomed as well. And some of the topics that you heard us talk about tonight are some of the topics we're going to be discussing so that we literally begin to take some action. So what we call Poli-Sci 101, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., myself, and a few other folks that you're familiar with will be conducting some classes, for lack of a better word, to help folks become a little more familiar with what some call civics, but also different aspects of political operations, sociopolitical sciences. So, again, for Philadelphia, we have to deal with the structure that is in this city, just like for Newark or New York or other. Every city actually has its own school board or other kind of structure. You have to see what that structure is. You can't just, you know, make a statement and then think that, you know, all over the nation that that's what's going to happen. Even though we are going to do that in another context under the We Charge Genocide banner, but at this point, to really help folks to get familiar with what we're doing, what we're talking about, we're going to slow walk it so that the various councils can be established in the community. Now, Sister Schiller mentioned something very clearly that we agree with, and that is that folks pay tax dollars, and their tax dollars should go towards something that, you know, they feel should be there. And I mean, idealistically, you're absolutely correct, and realistically, it should be happening. However, that's not the way the structure is presently, and unless you create another kind of entity to either help dismantle that structure or, you know, do something else with it, then that structure, the given structure will stay in place. Hence, if we're not organized, it's just a lot of conversation. And the conversation is good because it always helps to educate or edify someone who doesn't know certain things. So we're going to always conversate. But at some point, it has to be some plans of action. And that's again, what I'm really impressing upon people who have that capability or want to do that. We have to now up the ante. We cannot go another 20 years talking about what we need to do and all of that and just that. Okay? And so that's why in all of our conversations, for the most part, you're going to hear actual plans of action. And like the sister said, if two people come, but you are going to see plans of action as opposed to just some conversation. And that way, people, at least they look, nobody's going to be able to say, well, you could have, should have, because I've been down that road too. Well, this is what you should have did. Oh, really? Well, tell me what you're doing before you try to tell me what I could have, should have did. Show me how much time and effort you're put into. We've been doing this radio program for 13 years. 13 straight years. Independent. Now, if anyone has any idea how much time it takes to produce a program, 2.5-hour program, I would love for you to do it. Just that. You see? So my point is, at some point, it has to be some plans of action. So going back to what the caller was asking, we're not in California yet. We certainly plan to be there. Our project for California presently is political prisoners. We're working with the Rochelle McGee, Free Michelle McGee campaign. So that's one of the projects we're working for California. Okay. The education piece, we're working here in Philly because, again, it has a unique system, as most cities do, particularly where it's predominantly black. But the fact that we've researched 7 cities and the fact that Philadelphia, in its closing of approximately 35 schools, and Chicago 100, and Detroit, et cetera, we know it's something very interesting going on. You see? So I digress. So let's go to let's close this chapter out or this session out. And again, you know, I thank both of you, you know, for your input on this dialogue, because again, until we have some independent school board kinds of structures, again, until you can identify yourself, ourselves, in another manner, right now we are listed as African American or black. So how to determine where your tax dollars go means you have to have an established entity that is going to do the work of either lobbying or meeting or, you know, examining reports or what have you. And what I've learned over these years is most folks don't want to do that because it's too much work. It's just like when we worked on gentrification. Everybody was, yeah, gentrification, But then when it came time to, we've got to research this, we've got to file that, we've got to do, then all of a sudden everybody disappeared. Because
well,
it requires
sister, but you know that's not what I do. You know that's not what I do. I don't do that. I do just what I say.
Well,
I might do it late, but I do it.
Mm-hmm. So this is what I'm suggesting, my sister, with the suggestion mm-hmm. that you gave. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And all I'm saying is let's do it.
Okay. So in
that's all
summary,
I'm saying, let's do it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I am willing. I mean, you know me, you give me an assignment or I take an assignment or whatever.
Oh, no. We're going with your suggestion. No. See, I'm flipping this now because
okay.
What I'm asking people to do, see how different this is? No, you said that this is what you think is going to help resolve the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
So that means you are going to take some initiative in that process to the degree where
oh.
I'm going to take the assignment.
Oh, okay.
Based on what you're
okay.
saying.
Okay, I got you. I got you. No, I'm with you, and that makes sense.
Okay.
So,
right.
I mean, you know. I will, because I think it's really critically important. And we've been talking about it for a minute, about the children and the arts and their lack of exposure. I mean, many of them haven't even heard, like, just musical composition.
Right.
You know,
yes,
a lot of times, a lot of the children that I work with, they'll say, Michelle, what is that that you're playing? You know, that I've never heard that before. You know, or can you make me a copy of that CD? You know, because they've never heard it before. You know, because all they hear is, you know, what they hear, what's played on the radio.
Right.
So, I mean,
and so now what we're going to do is come up with some ways so that that can now happen.
Right. I agree. I agree with you. Okay, so Okay, so I will get to you with your assignment. Okay.
That's, no, there you go. That's, I ain't got no problem. Put me to work. I'm good. Put me to work.
Okay, I got it. And Dr. Haleem, what do you think?
Haseem.
Where are you?
Haseem.
Haseem, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Your thoughts on all of this in terms of how we might be able to bring this into action, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, we just talked about some stuff, but how do we move it?
Well, again, I'm hearing a lot of good things on both sides, and one of the things that stood out to me is you have to know as Dr. Filet said, you have to know the structure, the civics of everything. Because, for example, yes, voting is not the end all be all. Yes, you vote, but voting is part of the process. Then you gotta know the civics. You gotta know your, as she shared, you got to know who your local representatives are. You got to know who your district representatives are and get in front of them. And then they get in front of whomever else so that, again, when the money comes, because the money's going to come to the area, you have a say in what, for example, the type of program that you're doing. Perhaps you can get funding through your local district. So, again, that's part of the education piece, part of the piece that needs to be known, because it doesn't stop once you cast that vote. You know, once you cast it, then you got to do the, as she was saying, you have to do the work. A lot of times some people, when it's time to file this or it's time to sign petitions and or go here and there, people don't want to do it. I've signed a number of petitions myself. I've done a number of different things. However, like you said, everybody has their particular part in the way they do it. Just as long as you know what your job is and do it. However, yes, that's the key thing. You have to know how the structure works, the civics of the local and state government work, in addition to voting.
Yes.
All right. Yes. And by the way, I'm glad you mentioned that, because at our upcoming session for January at Spirit First Foods, and again, we're there every third Saturday. Again, consistency and commitment is something that we value and demonstrate. And so we'll be there every third Saturday, both physically, well, as long as we can. We don't know what COVID's going to do, but as long as we can, and also virtually. And so for the one coming up, we will be commemorating. It'll be January 15th. Of course, we will be commemorating, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King, but we'll be focusing on his more radical side. You see, that's one of the topics for that particular session. But also, we will begin to give out the polling sheet that we have, or the survey. And the survey is to give the black elected officials in Philadelphia a grade or a rating.
Mm-hmm.
See, again, if you do not enact actions,
mm-hmm,
that will lend to what your positions are, then it just becomes conversation, and that's not going to get us anywhere at this stage of the game. So, again, what will happen starting on January 15th is, for those who are interested, you will be able to get the sheet with every black elected official for Philadelphia, and the sheet will have on there good, I don't have it in front of me, but I can read it to you later. You know, you can check it off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Should they continue? Should they be gotten rid of? Da-da-da-da. It's like four or five areas. You can just check it off. And this is for every segment of the political arena: city council, state rep, senatorial, and congressional. And now we will have on paper what those who wished, what the masses of our people think about the service or disservice of their elected officials. And it'll be documented as such. See, this goes beyond a conversation. Then you have some legs to stand on when we step to these people and say, excuse me, but, you know, we did a little poll to just kind of get a sense of, you know, how people felt about your service. And here's the results. Mm-hmm. You see? And we want to ask them, what is your position on reparations? Because if we're going to encourage people to vote, and as far as I'm concerned, they should. On the local levels, they should. But if we're going to encourage people to vote, we better be telling people about some real history as to people actually support and don't support. And get that on paper. This is not going to be hearsay, she say, or none of that. This will be right there. There it is. We're going to have on a sheet for the black elected officials asking them, do you approve or do you agree with reparations? Yes or no? See, mm-hmm. This is going to be coming from the Million Woman Party. We talked about it for a couple of years. We had hoped to see some action from others. It didn't happen. So, you know what we're saying now? Cool. We gave you the opportunity. You didn't take it. That's on you. We're not waiting for you any longer. We can't. Like you said earlier, Sister Sheila, our people are not only dying, mm-hmm. listen, because we've been dying, so that ain't nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But there's a segment of our people that's becoming extinct. I'm sorry, go ahead, Dr. Haseem.
My apologies. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to add that perhaps in addition to what you're proposing with the African American officials, is to also do some type of education in the community dealing with reparations, if that's the case. I know in Philly, perhaps there may be a lot of people that understand it. However, I'm seeing that most people they don't know. We talked earlier about words, and a lot of people don't understand what reparations is. And see, if you're gonna assess one of the politicians what their stance on reparation is, so that when you communicate that information to the masses, perhaps the masses need to know what reparations is.
So mm-hmm. for at least this past year, we have done that like every month. We have had Zoom meetings, and as soon as we were able to get back into the community, we started holding meetings in the community. And at all of our sessions, we talk about the We Charge Genocide 21 Project. So, again, you're absolutely correct, my brother, and that's what we have done. We implemented our Boots on the Ground campaign in September that went on a national level, but we've been doing it here in Philly for a while. Remember, for 3 years prior to COVID coming in, we were doing community meetings at the Paul Robeson House on human rights, reparations, and so forth. We've been doing that for 3 years, since 2017.
Yes.
You see?
And my thing is... Yes.
In the community, not just online. Like I said, we were doing our meetings at the Paul Robeson House. When a lot of people in Philadelphia didn't even know that Paul Robeson took that petition to the United Nations in 1951. We were the key group in this city that began to produce not only the information, but the actual documents, and held sessions in or at the Paul Robeson House before
let me say this.
And we were no longer.
Let me say this. I talk with the children, and these are high school children. They never heard of Paul Robeson.
Mm-hmm.
They never heard the name. And that is not good. And that is why teaching, and if we have to do it outside of school, which I think we probably will likely have to do. They've never heard of Paul Robeson.
So let me ask this question, Sister Sheila, mm-hmm. and help me with this because it's important. So have you gotten any information about our Black History Club and initiative for There's two things. One is the Black History of Philly, and the other is Black History in general. So have you received any information that talked about our Black History and Legacy Initiative?
I'm not sure.
Okay, because I've sent it to you on numerous occasions. I've sent it. See, this is why I'm saying, you know, we're very consistent. And one of the things that we talked about earlier tonight was we have a book club and a book list that we're now making available. Oh, by the way, family, it is now, according to them, 2022. Happy 2022, y'all. Okay, I just wanted to put that out there to everyone.
Whether or
and
not
so officially, right.
It's 11:59. So one clock says 11:58. One says 11:59.
Oh,
so
okay.
We're
okay.
Just about in.
All right. Well,
so
there we go.
Happy and healthy. Healthy.
Yes.
Is real.
Yes.
Support.
Yes. And healthy, absolutely happy, but also justice and liberation. Because that's going to make me happy, I tell you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, give thanks.
And may 2022 help us.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to definitely do that.
Fruition, yes. Yeah, because
we're
going to
definitely do that.
Yes.
All right. Well, you know, there's an old saying in the hood. I remember the elders used to say it, the seniors used to say it, that whoever you were with, when the new year came in, that's what you're going to be with them in the new year. So, hey, I guess we're going to be together, y'all.
That's a wonderful thing.
That's a wonderful thing. I give thanks.
Yes, give thanks.
And by the way, before we continue, I would be remiss if I did not say again that this night is also called Watch Night, family.
Yes.
For those who are familiar with it, then, you know, bear with me because I'm going to share it just in case those who aren't familiar with it. It was also called Freedom's Eve, and it was primarily kind of in the Christian domain. A service was held on New Year's Eve, and it was associated with, of course, the Emancipation Proclamation that is said to have been enacted on January the 1st, 1863. And it supposedly, you know, freed the slaves in the Confederate states during the American Civil War. So Watch Night, again, was a time that Black folks would come together. And see, I really do like Watch Night concept in this regard. Black folks came up with that. See, whether you agree with the Emancipation, the Proclamation, whatever, that's another conversation. But Black folks came up with that, y'all. That's something that they wanted to do. See, so I like that idea. So again, this is Watch Night, y'all, along with now Imani, which brings us to the next part of this conversation before we close out.
Yes.
And it is this.
Imani faith.
How are we going to use our faith? You know, we are, look, y'all know Black folks is probably the most spiritual beings on the planet, you know. However, we're probably the most enslaved on the planet. Maybe not the most enslaved, but y'all get the point. So with that said, how are we going to use our spirituality, our faith, to get free? Ooh.
That's a big question. Okay.
Yes, folks are like, see, that's why they be like, oh, Dr. Slay, because they don't want to answer them kind of questions.
Well, I mean, I think that the first thing is to be, we're very distracted. We're living in a society where we're distracted with whatever, music, television, or whatever. It is that distracts people. A lot of information. It's important.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to the question. So let me use the word again. How are we going to, whatever faith, whatever religion, whatever doctrine, how are we going to use these things to obtain our justice and freedom?
Well, I would say that, like, let's say I know, like, personally, the need to just kind of sit down, turn all of everything off, the telephone and everything else, and just spend at least 10 minutes a day quietly focusing on your breath. I mean, quite frankly, because that's what keeps you alive. You know, being able to center yourself, being able to ground yourself is really important, because at that point, it allows that pineal part of your brain to function, you know, and breathe deeply, you know, and focus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, seriously. And spend at least and sit down with a journal after you've done it and write down what kind of comes
right
to you.
Mm-hmm. See, so I like that. I like that. All right. Thank you, sister. See, now, see the difference? See the difference
mm-hmm.
from, well, you know, the music makes us da 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 da. You just gave a solid, clear answer. I mean, for in terms of what you think, how this mm-hmm. would help, not mm-hmm. the regurgitation of what the problem is. You literally said specific things, meditation or, you know, turn everything off. Or you, that's an action. These are actions. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love it. Dr. Hasim, what about you?
Yes. I was listening as she was sharing her actions. And I will say this. For me, it's a little bit simpler. We spoke about spirituality. We've been talking about different terms. One of the main things is, and I always go back to ground zero with a lot of things because that's important. And so when I think about what you shared, I think about, one, being able to simply just go on the internet, type in spirituality so you understand what it is. Yes, we are spiritual. We are, you know, essence. The African person is a spiritual person. However, what is that? So look up that. Look up what spirituality is.
Mm-hmm.
Look up what
mm-hmm.
God is. Then perhaps after that, look up the different religions of the world. Some people don't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
mm-hmm.
some of the people only know the world through the three different religions, or the three revealed religions, so-called, in the Christianity, Judaism, and Islam.
Islam.
So however, we got a big world. There's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
There's so those that would be my thought in terms of you speak of actions, just understanding it, you know, the going back to the bare basics.
All right. I love both of those. All right, well, I'm going to give mine, and we're going to get ready to close our family. This was a wonderful dialogue. I thank Sister Sheila and Dr. Hasim for, you know, really allowing us to have, because that's what we need to do. We need to move to the next level to you know, have these conversations, but then to elevate, you know, the dialogue and where are we going with whatever. I mean, we've got to now have some real kind of projections. But my response is to begin self-discipline. Some self-discipline and begin to look at food.
Mm-hmm.
See, because, and this connects to health, of course, but in terms of the spirituality, if you've noticed, no matter what religion or faith or what have you, 9 times out of 10, they all talk something about food intake.
Mm-hmm.
Or the lack of it, either
mm-hmm.
fasting or specific things to eat or not to eat at a specific time
mm-hmm.
or whatever. That's not coincidental. There's something very relevant about that. And so what I would propose to folk is to examine closer what you're putting inside your temple. Your body is considered your temple. So to develop your spirituality, what would that take? What would that, you know, what things would help? Now, Sister Sheila just gave us some perfect, very good examples. And so I'm saying also something that is perhaps even more fundamental, meaning you have to eat. Now, you ain't going to get around that at some point, you see. So you have to go out your way to do that, because that's going to be automatic, just like breathing, as she mentioned. And so, but the question has to be for us now, given the fact, as Dr. Hasim just mentioned, you can get information really easily now. Now, for me, I would look at going to the internet or whatever to look up spirituality or God only in the context for reference points, and that's all, because for me, half of that stuff that a lot of, you know, unless you really dig, you know, half of that stuff is like, okay. I mean, you know, because most people know that even with the idea of the name Jesus, for example, if you study Hebrew, there's no J in Hebrew. So that should tell you something right there. So I'm very careful when I tell people to research stuff, be cautious about it. You know, take it with a grain of sand. It's good information, but make sure you have your sister so that you put this stuff in it and know how to, you know, remember how we said the sifter, you get the flour and you would put it in the, what was that thing called? It was called a sifter, wasn't it, sister? You remember?
Yeah, a cistern.
Yeah. And you would go back and forth with it, and any stuff that you didn't want would stay in the instrument, the tool, and the rest would come out nice, right? So that's what I tell people to do. Be real on certain things. Make sure you sift through it to the degree where, you know, it's good fundamental stuff, but beware. So my point again is that, you know, taking heed to what you're putting inside your temple, your being, because you're thinking. All of that, to some degree, is also related to what you put inside your body, you see? And so your spirituality, you have to know what's going to nurture, you know, your spirituality, both you know, mental, physical, and you know, the other components there. So again, I'm suggesting that we can increase perhaps our spiritual well-being by being better to your own body in such a way that you not, you know, you don't want to have it become so toxic. You see? And again, you know, I'm not saying it just because, you know, I'm saying even with most scripture or other kinds of ideologies that deal with, you know, spiritual concepts or whatever, somewhere in there, there's a suggestion of fasting. There's a suggestion of, you know, other kinds of things, you see.
Prayer.
And so, you know, right. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But I'm saying, you know, I'm stressing that because, again, we have to begin to look at the health, because I know people that are very spiritual, but they're very ill. You see, they are suffering physically. You see, so, you know, again, that could hinder, you know, your level of spiritual development if your arthritis and high blood pressure and heart disease and other things. And I mean, some things, you know, it's hereditary. You can't, I mean, it is what it is. We're in an environment that's toxic. But I'm saying again, as you said, Sister Sheila, we've got to help our people to do better. And so to kind of reiterate some of the teachings that, you know, again, I'm thankful for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know, I'm not Muslim in that context. You know, I don't follow any other, you know, but, hey, the man was on the money when it come to certain things 70 years ago. You know, I mean, you know, some of this stuff is not about, you know, what your, you know, faith. Some of it's just basic common sense. And lastly, before we close out, this is what I tell people. If it's dead, you might want to reconsider you putting it in your body. If it's dead, what can it give to you? What can it do for you?
You want to live, you got to eat live food, fruits and vegetables.
I mean, really. I mean,
and
if it's
dead, just think
about it.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Just some food for thought, y'all, as we go into the new year.
Yes.
You know, treat yourself
Thank
better.
You.
Treat yourself better. Know thyself. Yes. Love thyself. And you know, that will equal to us, you know, loving one another. Because I hear people talk about that. Oh, we need more love for each other. Okay, yeah, what's your plan to do that one? You know, so this
you
is what I'm proposing.
Yeah, exactly. You can't love other people and you don't love yourself. I mean, and we've got a lot of people that don't like themselves. I don't know if they don't love themselves, but they don't like themselves. You know,
We've been indoctrinated to do that, and so that's why with Dr. Haseem and you and others, we have to figure out what is the antidote. Because we already know what the problems, some of the problems are.
But
where's the antidote?
Mm-hmm.
You see? Because if we don't start figuring that out
quickly,
then it will only get worse.
That's right.
We've been fed for decades.
Yeah.
So, all right, family, we're going to close this session out. We're going to go to Dr. Haseem and get his closing comments for tonight. We thank you again, my brother, for always, you know, sharing and bringing a lot of clarity to the conversation. And, again, you know, certainly appreciate you, your work, and just appreciate you being our brother.
I appreciate you in the same way. Thank you for having me on and the conversation. I always learn every time I come on. So thank you.
All right. And Sister Sheila, you're going to close us out.
Okay. Well, this year, 2022, we have to have a different paradigm. We have to have a paradigm of movement. Think tank. You know, all the various aspects of life that we need to look at, health, our communities, our children. I'm focused on the children because at one point we're going to be old and they will be making the decisions. And if they have grown up unhealthy, you know, hurt people, which is why we have what's going on in Philadelphia right now with 550 homicides. You know, hurt people. And there are a lot of children that are really hurting. And we don't see them. We don't see them because they're behind closed doors with their parents who often have issues. You know, so we're going to focus on educating our children in the things that they need to know, including the civics, including the history, including the creative side, exploring it. When a child sits down and plays a piano, it exercises a different part of their brain. It's like left brain, right brain stuff, you know what I mean? And it gives them a sense of balance. So I'm just being and praying and focusing on our liberation and our balance with one another so that we can begin to work together. You know, we can agree to disagree, you know, and go ahead and do whatever it is that we need to do, but do something, you know. So I just want to say thank you for the conversation. It was good conversation. It was good conversation. I like the fact that you pushed it. You pushed it to the point of, okay, so what are you going to do? And that's what we need to do. It's almost like with every conversation, what are we going to do about it? Because, yeah, you're right. We got a zillion problems. Everybody's got a zillion problems. But what are we going to do? And what's important? And it's not us. We're like a grain of sand. It's not about us. Looking back over life, you know, I'm an elder, you know, looking back over life, you know, I thought it was about me. Okay? It's not. It's about these young ones coming up. Because they'll be the ones that'll become the politicians or the, you know, either good or bad. So it's about the children. We're a grain of sand. We're moving on. And we have to pass it on. We have to pass on that that memory and that history and that understanding of who you are. But first, like you said, you got to know yourself first. So that's my
Absolutely.
Two cents.
Absolutely. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Again, I just want to, you know, really convey to folks that we must have our own institutions, our own independent institutions. And as Dr. Hasim indicated, I'm not suggesting that we isolate ourselves or not work with other people and all of that. No, not at all. I wouldn't dare suggest that. However, we can do that not only more readily but more effectively when we first have our own. That's what other people do. That's what they're going to do. And until we have our own institutions, independent. For example, I mentioned CB earlier, family. Do you know that the Council of Independent Black Institutions was formed in 1972?
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, see, I study our history whenever I can and will continue to do so whenever I can. It is important that we know and understand that these conversations that we're having, people have already had these conversations over and over and over. The point is that we cannot do this any longer like this. We must put things in place. CB was a very viable and active entity. Again, it was called the Council of Independent Black Institutions. Now, even though it suggests that it was primarily focused on education, and it was all over the country. In Philadelphia, we had 5 independent schools. In 1979, 5. There's one now. The rise of charter schools was pushed in D.C., Philadelphia, Baltimore, and a few other cities because the independent schools was doing their thing. And so the system offered the money in order to remove people from the idea of self-determination and being here in Philadelphia, a brother by the name of John Skeef started the Harambe Institute, one of the first independent institutions that was in Philadelphia for the children. It also then became one of the first charter schools. Again, if you do not understand the system, whether you want to call it white supremacy, the devil, or whatever, best believe the same mistakes will continue because this is how they operate, and this is how they've always operated. So my point is this. Unless people are talking about having our own whatever, for me, they're suspect. Simple as that. Simple as that at this stage of the game. Meaning, how much do you really want to see us free? If you're not supporting or building something that is independent. And again, we know that everybody can't do everything and all of that. Some people can't do, but you can support something that is. I support the political prisoners. I can't be on the front line advocating for them, but I can support the campaigns that people are doing to free them. You see? So again, we remind everyone tomorrow's the last, well, now it's the last day of Kwanzaa. We encourage folks, send the political prisoners a letter, a card, something. Is that so difficult? You know, again, we're going to see now, because the time is going to come in the very near future where questions are going to be asked. What are you doing that's independent? For real. It's not connected to this system.
It's very,
that's going to tell the story. That's going to tell the real story. Because if it's not dead, go ahead.
Quick question, is there a place where we could find their address to be able to send them a card?
I announce it very often. You go to the Jericho website. The Jericho Movement has the listing. It is the most thorough thing out there, and they've been doing it for years. But you name it, they've got it. The Jericho Movement website has every political prisoner's name, address, biography, you name it.
Okay. Thank you.
You can also check out the Jamal Journal. It is now online. Mumia's newspaper has been online now for a year.
Oh, okay.
The Jamal Journal. We gave our copies at our last Kwanzaa event, and we also gave paper. We had an insert in the paper in the Jamal Journal that had the mailing address and so forth for Dr. Matula Shakur and who else? Iman Jamil Alameen. Suniyat Akoli. See, again, at some point we have to ask ourselves and one another, what are we actually doing? Right. All right, family. We thank you all. We say Haboy Gani, Imani, and let's see if we can take our faith, our religion, our spirituality to the next levels in order to bring about real self-determination, unity, cooperative economics, creativity, purpose, etc. And, of course, justice and liberation. All right, we're out. Thank you again, Sister Sheila. Loved conversating with you. And, of course, our brother, Dr. Hasim. Y'all going to be hearing more from him in the near future, best believe. All right, family, we are out. And again, have a blessed 2022.
New year. Yes.
Peace to you all.
Peace. Every day, not the same thing.